WGCU University of Texas takes a break from the Heights programming to WGCU Community Radio. We can have power in this episode every Friday. And this show, we bring out some of the best guests in the Jewish world and in the Green Area. Right about what's happening in the Jewish community, what's going on, and all kinds of stuff. And so you may remember for the Independence Day weekend, I planned an interview with Major General Alfonso Gillian. We've got other great guests. And today, none of us, we have a great guest. Today, we have on a colonel. We're going to be exploring today something that we haven't talked about before. There's a growing alliance in the Jewish world, the Christian world, a vice president of the Christian Peace Support of Israel. And today, our guest is somebody who is at the forefront of the regional director of an organization called Christians United for Israel, KUFI. And this is a group that really is the forefront of the Christian movement for support for Israel. And so I can say it's called John Somerville, and he's the regional director for KUFI and for this area. He's following here on WGCU. Colonel Somerville, how are you today?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you, Fred. It's nice to be talking back in the area of my hometown, although I'm not there anymore.
Oh, you're from Cleveland? I know you're from Cleveland originally.
Well, Lyndhurst, yeah, right around the corner from, I think, where you are.
Oh, fantastic. I remember you were here in Cleveland a few months ago speaking, and you were a very dynamic and great speaker. I was very impressed.
Well, you must be easy to fool.
No, I don't think so. I think you did a great job, Adam. I didn't realize you lived here. So I remember you came here, you knew your way around. I was like, wow, this guy looks like a Cleveland boy. He must have been here a few times. When did you move out of Cleveland?
Oh, I left, right after high school. I went to college, and then I joined the Marine Corps. And so for 30 years, I was out playing Marine most of the time. And had really hardly ever been back up until this past year. And part of my job with Christians United for Israel, Ohio falls into the region that I'm responsible for. So I was drawn to get back to Cleveland and see what kind of work we could do in the area. And I was delighted to be back.
Well, it was a great because you spoke at a few places in your visit. And it really was a really nice visit. And it was a great pleasure meeting you. And I know that by most of people, I walked out the street because we're going to be having a speaker a week from Sunday, Sandra Oster Barrett, who's going to be coming in. And I thought maybe a little series that was in summertime talking about Christian groups in the corporate Israel. And your group, KUFI, is probably the most prominent, if not the most prominent, period.
Well, I suppose we are. I think as far as numbers, the growth has really been astronomical in the last couple of years. We're less than 5 years old, and although there may be quite a number of groups out there who, on the surface, appear to sort of have the same mission, I think there's a uniqueness about what we do. And by the way, I know Sandra, and I know Sandra very well, and I run into her all across the United States, and every time I go to Israel, I always attempt to go visit her. The difference, I think, that Christians United for Israel has from some of the other groups is that, number one, we are attempting to educate Christians all across the United States about the biblically mandated position that we are to be supportive and loving and helpful to Abraham's descendants, wherever they are in the United States or especially in Israel. But the second component of our mission is that we are doing our best to influence American foreign policy as it relates to Israel.
Well, I think we're going to talk about the show. I don't want to get into, policies and stuff on the show and, Republican and Democrat stuff, but they're all part of I don't want to get part of the problem, but you guys do a lot of stuff that you're advocating for Israel among Christian organizations, and you tour the entire United States doing this.
Well, that's true. One of the major reasons why we do our best to educate Christians about our necessity of standing with Israel is to get their voices raised so that American foreign policy is positive toward Israel, because we certainly believe Genesis 12:3, where God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you. And if our nation is a blessing, to Israel, then our nation, meaning the United States, is going to be blessed. If we are a curse to them, then that will fall upon this nation. So we have this mandate to do that. The other thing I want to make clear is we have no intention of telling Israel how they should conduct their affairs. We have no intention of speaking out and saying to Israel what they ought to do. Israel is a sovereign nation, and we are Americans, and our job is to do the best we can in our own nation. Our focus is strictly on Israel, but we have no intention of ever telling Israel how they should operate.
Well, one thing you did that you had in Cleveland over the winter was the Knights of Honor Israel.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we do all across the country. We've done more than 100 of these. And a Knight to Honor Israel is absolutely a non-conversionary outreach by Christians to the Jewish community. And it's a gala event with music and all kinds of uplifting things and speakers who tell not only the Christian community, but tell the Jewish community that we are standing with them. And at these events, we always take an offering, and all of that money goes directly and totally to different foundations in Israel. And certainly over the last few years, the John Hagee Ministry has given more than $58 million directly to Israel. No strings attached. They don't need to put our name on a building. They don't need to do anything like that. We do our very best to work with the local Jewish communities and say, which foundations do you want supported? And that in itself is a wonderful blessing that we are involved with, and that shows support.
What part of the money goes to? I'm curious.
Yeah, well, there's such a great variety of them. One is an organization called Save a Child's Heart, and this is an organization of doctors and nurses who do this absolutely free, and they brought in not only Israeli children, but Palestinian children, children from all over Africa, China, all the rest. These are children whose hearts cannot be operated on in those countries. Most recently, when I was over there visiting some of these children in the hospital, it was pointed out to me that one little boy from Tanzania was the 36th nation from which children had been brought to Israel, operated on. All of these children would die by the age of 12.
Wow.
And it is very heartwarming. And it also goes back to that verse in Genesis 12 where it says, you are going to be a blessing to all nations. And that really astounded me. But we do other things. We bought a lot of those portable bomb shelters down in Sderot. We have hardened operating rooms in Ashkelon, so that if they're hit by rockets, they're hardened. And we've given money to a number of orphanages, yeshivas, and I know there's one that works with autistic children, and the list goes on and on. It is a great variety.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I know the first thing I do. I'm familiar. I remember when you came to Cleveland, you spoke about it, and I'm sitting there basically going, wow. You guys are involved in really good work. Now, interesting enough, though, I should say you talked about projects. I would be interested, there's a lot of interesting projects going on in the Cleveland area alone, the Jewish community. For example, the Jewish community here works with, I forgot the name of the community. Boy, my mind's gone blank. I guess it's a bit of coffee this morning, but that'll come in a second here. But the Jewish community here works with one community as well, and I know that the group, one of the I work with, St. Colin, has been asked to build in Cleveland. And a friend of mine built a music school there in memory of his father, who was a major Jewish band leader in Basin, Cleveland. That's the Morey Seaman Music Academy in Cleveland.
Yes, I've heard of it, and I know it does great work, and I know the son of Morris.
Yeah, that's a good man, and he's I remember when you came here to Clinton. But one thing I know about before I go into a little more about Krupai, I want to talk a lot more about Krupai. I'm looking at your website right now, krupai.org, KUFI, and you have a Washington Summit coming up. And I talked to you on the phone yesterday. I was website, but I completely mostly just forgot to your website because I didn't realize it was coming up. You've got a big event coming up this month in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Yes, it's next week, and it's a 3-day event. And if you and your listeners have been, are familiar with APAC, which I'm sure you are, which is generally recognized as, a great influential lobbying group, we make no bones about looking at how APAC has done this over 50 years. And in many ways, we are doing the same thing, although coming from a Christian standpoint. We bring in the very best speakers and thinkers that we possibly can. And for a day and a half, they run seminars and they speak and all that. As a matter of fact, Michael Oren, the ambassador from Israel to the United States, is going to be a keynote speaker at our dinner. But the important thing that we do is that all the people that come immediately are registered for an appointment with their congressman or their congressperson. And then the third day, we'll go to Capitol Hill. We had 5,000 last year. We're looking for 6,000 to 7,000 this year.
Wow.
And we'll visit with every congressperson that has someone represented, and we'll visit with the senators from both states. And we're not going to go in there and talk to them about saying, hey, we hope you'll support Israel, because they'll all say, yeah, great, thanks for coming. We work very much like APAC does. We know how Washington works, and they work on bills. And so everyone is prepped. Everyone will have talking points and a package of materials. And when they speak to their congressman or their senator, they're going to say, we hope that we want you to sign on to this particular bill, and here's the reasons why. And we want to thank you for your support of Israel. And we worked along with other groups like APAC on this divestment from Iran, the stopping of the gasoline being imported in there. We worked for 3 years on that one. And as you know, the wheels in Washington often grind terribly slowly. And something that should have been done at least 3 years ago, it took them all this time to finally get it up to the White House. Now we'll see how, if there's any teeth left in it. But those are the kind of issues we work on.
So I'm looking at your website here, and I'm seeing the list of speakers we have for this event. And you mentioned the keynote speaker. I'm looking here, and I see names here, a lot of names here, talking about 23 names of speaking. I'm thinking, these can all be keynote speakers. You have people from Pastor John Hagee to, where do I go? You're McGorn, you mentioned Ambassador McGorn. You've got Dennis Prager speaking. You have Mort Zuckerman speaking. David Broad, who I know is a big Kufi and an author from great books. But one of the names that caught my attention, and I just had to ask, Charlie Daniels. Is he Charlie Daniels, the fiddler, the fiddler player?
Yeah, let me tell you about that. Randy Travis, who's a very good friend of John Hagee, has been at every one of our summits up until now. And he always performs, and something happened, and he was scheduled somewhere else. And when he recognized that, he said, oh, my goodness, I can't make it. And he said, but I'm going to call a friend and see if he'll do it. And Charlie Daniels, the fiddler, is who's going to be there. So
he did a great commercial recently. He crossed over big time with Devil Down in Georgia, of course. Great song. And if you watch him play that commercial, people watch him play on YouTube, I just love watching him play. And I think if he brings his violin, and boy, I tell you something, that'll be a great appearance all along. That's the kind of violin right there by itself. So what are some of the things that you work on? When you speak from here, you find so many excellent points when you're speaking that, I don't know what's happening. You had a very nice presentation when you were in Cleveland, and the entire audience was mesmerized. But when you speak, what are the things about your phone you like people to know that you think that they...
Well, that's a great question. I'm on the road probably 3 weeks out of every month. And it means that I'm speaking somewhere every week, at least 5 times a week, and sometimes many more. I try to do a luncheon, and then I try to do an evening presentation wherever I can. So the last thing I want to do is to have some sort of a canned presentation. And so I change it every time I speak. I started going to Israel in the very early 70s, and it became a magnificent obsession of mine. And so over those years and more than 60 visits and extended periods of time that I spent in Israel, I just had this desire to read everything I possibly could, meet as many people and so forth. So I really change what I'm talking about all the time. I mean, the heart of the message is, and because I'm speaking mostly to Christian groups, is Christians are supposed to be supportive of Israel and supposed to be a blessing to Abraham's descendants. That's the heart of it. There's a lot of different ways to that. And so most recently I've been looking at empires and how empires have either been blessed or cursed by how they treated the Jews. And the most recent one that some people can relate to is the British Empire. So I just go through a few highlights of that, and then especially I get to the Balfour Declaration and how then the British conducted themselves starting at the end of World War I in relationship to the Jews, right up until about 1947 when that empire just collapsed, and point out that they did two things. They violated those principles in Joel 3, verses 1 and 2, where it says nations are going to be judged by whether or not they scattered my people, Israel, and whether or not they divided up my land. And Great Britain certainly did both. They kept the Jews from, really from fleeing from Europe in the 30s and immigrating to Israel. They did their darndest to stop that from happening. And they divided up the land over and over again. And consequently, it was the end of the British Empire. So people find that, I think, somewhat fascinating that nations are doing. Then I take the next step, and I said, what is our nation doing? How is our nation relating to this verse and our constant pressure on Israel to give away the West Bank, to give away Gaza, to give away Golan, all that sort of stuff? And their eyes get kind of open, like, whoa, are we guilty of instigating and dividing up the land and all these kind of things? So I take it from a lot of different angles. And it's fun for me. I never want to get bored with what I'm talking about, because the minute that happens, the message is going to start to fall flat.
Well, one thing your message was very, very dynamic. I didn't think it fell flat at all. I think you had a really good dynamic message going. And you did stuff that in your lecture. That was very fascinating, because I didn't think about that at all. It was very fascinating. But it's interesting. You're in California right now, right?
Yes.
So you travel 3 weeks a month.
Yes.
And you're basically just running around the country and staying in this region. So how do you do it? It's got to be very, very lucky to just always be on the road. And I'm sure you're going to be able to summit also in Washington.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life. I was really blessed that the Marine Corps kept me around for 30 years. And I spent a lot of that time in the Middle East. When I retired, I was coaching, and I was a baseball scout for the Houston Astros.
Wow.
And then I combined that with going back to Israel, and we actually ran baseball camps there for about 10 years in the summer. Anyway, as much as I enjoyed all those other things, and I thought every time I was doing anything, I enjoyed it greatly, nothing compares to what I'm doing now, because I really believe there is a godly basis to what I've been allowed to do these last few years. And so it's hardly any kind of a hardship to be on the road.
What's the biggest question, the most common question you get about Israel when you are traveling? I'm curious, because you probably get the one question, which more than anything else is, so I'm curious, what do people ask you about Israel?
I don't think people ask me very much, to tell you the truth. I think that that's a good question.
But let me rephrase it. What's the one thing you feel is most important to emphasize when you are speaking? Something that you make sure that people know. Is there one thing that you leave them with when you speak? Is there, there's always that one element that is really the key to your message. And if you've given it already about those who bless Israel. But is there something else that you like to tell people so that they walk away, they remember? Is there something, a personal story that of your experience in Israel that you like people to leave with?
Well, not so much anecdotes. Is that what I want them to understand is where I'm coming from. And once they get that, I mean, they can agree with it or not agree with it. It's a free country. I would say the gem of what this is all about is that God has designated a certain land and for a certain people. And, of course, in biblical terms, we talk about the promised land and God's chosen people. And I believe that people are seeing a fulfillment of that happening in this day and age. It's one thing for people to talk about the Bible and, oh, yeah, it's all ancient history and it's all nice and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's real and it's for today. And this modern state of Israel, I believe, is certainly a fulfillment of God's promise of bringing his chosen people back to it. And I'll cite books like Startup Nation by David Senior and Saul Singer, which is a pretty good bestseller right now, which is not a religious book by any means, but it's showing what a dynamic economy and everything else that is going on in Israel today. And that's hard for people to overlook because there's nothing like what is happening in Israel. There's nothing like all of the nations of the world turning against it. How it's their favorite whipping boy. The other thing that I love doing so much is when I come to a city like Cleveland, where we really have had no work or anything else going on, I do my very best to meet with the Jewish Federation, with as many rabbis as I can, with the Community Relations Council, because they're all suspicious of what we do, and rightfully so. I can understand that there's 2,000 years of crime that the church has committed against the Jewish people. And they always think, well, we have some hidden agenda. And I do my very best to explain exactly what we're about and to dispel those kinds of apprehensions, which are valid. And once there's kind of a breakthrough there, and some people say, wow, we know how to handle our enemies, but what if these people really are friends and if they'll just give us a hearing and take a look at what we're doing. That's the, I'll tell you what, that is the great joy that I have.
What is this group? What is, what is this? And then one day I heard one of your group speak at Copenhagen. I was like, wow, I was very impressed. And you're right, by the way, I was thinking it was true. It was kind of surprised as to many. And I know that from personal experience, it's 100% true. Yeah, thank you, your organization, for the great work you're doing. It's amazing what you guys do in Israel and even in the United States. It's really impressive to see the buildup of the alliance of Christians and Jews. I think it's making this overall a better nation because we are bringing people together, which is the first step in any kind of peace relationship, to bring people together. And if you bring people together, it's just wonderful.
Well, Fred, I don't think this has happened ever before in the history of the Christian church. From the first century, Christianity has moved away and has done everything to do away with the Jewishness of Jesus, all that sort of stuff. It was just blanked out. And the Jews were made the enemy. And so much of the persecution against the Jews was initiated by the church. I think, honestly, in my study of history, there's never been a time like this where the church is waking up. And that's my job, to wake up the church and say, this has got to stop. And that's really what we're about. It is not our job to be reaching out and attempting to do the whole conversion of the Jews, all this kind of stuff. God has a plan for the Jews and a plan for Israel, and it's a good one. And we want to be in harmony with that.
And you guys did a great job. I appreciate it. And I know that when you were here, you had the book by David Brock, Standing with Israel, and it was a great book. And it was a great book, I should say. And they also have a new book out, In Defense of Faith, a great book, which I didn't read it, but I hear a lot of great things about. But, Colonel, I want to thank you for coming on. You definitely advised the audience about what your group is. And I want to thank you, your group by Christians United for Israel. They're at cufi.org.